You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Okay, back to the show with Jack and Doreen Canelli as your hosts. We're happy to have you with us and happy for those of you who stayed with us over the break. And welcome to those who are just joining us now. We're going to be talking for the next half hour with Sean Liddle, and she joins to share with her and her husband's story of grieving and finding healing after a miscarriage. And we know that's a very common thing. Most of us probably know somebody who has experienced that sort of thing. And in a way, I think a lot of us really don't know how to deal with that, you know, with the people that have, you know, gone through such an experience. And so she's going to share how this experience helps her as she works as a birth doula. And you might have to explain what a doula is, Sean.
Good morning,
absolutely,
Sean. I want to say welcome. And I just want to begin by expressing my sorrow at the loss that you have experienced and to thank you very much for being willing to be with us this morning and all of our listeners to share some things about that kind of grief.
Right. It's not an easy topic.
It's not, but it is quite the honor to be able to speak on such a powerful topic, and just how I feel like how God is just so present in the seasons of grief and sorrow. So quite an honor to be able to talk with you, and I'm just very happy to be here.
Yeah. Why don't you just introduce yourself to our listeners before we get
Absolutely.
Going?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in a suburb of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, Maplewood, for anybody who knows Maplewood, Minnesota. And I am a cradle Catholic, so I grew up in the faith, went to a parochial school from kindergarten through eighth grade, went to public high school in North St. Paul, and then went on to the University of St. Thomas, where I got my bachelor's in communication and journalism. And since then, I am a happily married mama of seven. So we have three kiddos on earth and then four babies in heaven. Mm-hmm. And this July, my husband and I will celebrate 7 years of being married, which is wonderful. And then as of 2023, I am a professionally trained birth doula on my way to receiving certification. So, yeah, that's a bit about me in a nutshell.
Can you explain what a doula is? I mean, I think in terms of a midwife, but I got a feeling it's something maybe a little bit different.
Yeah. So the two are often, I think, many people kind of confuse the two, but a birth doula, we essentially provide emotional and physical support for women who are going through labor and delivery. So that's either providing words of encouragement, we can provide different labor position suggestions to help mom and baby have the best labor and delivery experience. So we are like mama's number one cheerleader and there to really make sure her birth experience is a good and powerful one.
Wonderful. One of our favorite shows is called The Midwife on PBS, and they do such a beautiful job of demonstrating that love that they have for the women who are experiencing childbirth.
Yes.
In your introduction, you mentioned you have four little ones in heaven. Could you please walk our listeners through kind of your personal experience with that experience of miscarriage, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just kind of walk through all of when our babies were born, because it kind of helps to do the timeline with when we had our losses. So our oldest was born in May of 2018, and it was a very, like, textbook pregnancy and textbook labor and delivery. And then we ended up having our son in November of 2019. And again, a very normal pregnancy and a very normal labor and delivery. And then we had gotten pregnant in the winter of 2021. And actually today, 3 years ago, is when I delivered our first baby. And her name was Isidore. And that experience was just, it was very eye-opening, because I think when you have two healthy pregnancies, healthy deliveries, healthy babies, you know, the stat that's one in four pregnancies ending in loss doesn't really seem like it's ever going to apply to you. Mm-hmm. So I think with that first loss, our eyes were just really open to the reality that, you know, not all pregnancies end in the way we had experienced before. And so I think that that really, really broke us, my husband and I. And I think I remember when we found out the news of, you know, a few days before we delivered her that she no longer had a heartbeat, that my husband turned to me and he said, "I just want us to remind ourselves that even in the midst of this, God is always good and wow. God is here." Mm-hmm. And I just, that really resonated with me and stuck with me, I think, because it's true. Like, it's something you can't even fathom going through, but we need to be reminded that He is with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. And so that loss, yeah, just really, I think, really pushed us in our faith, and I think really pushed us as a couple to rely on our shared foundation of our faith.
May I ask, Sean, excuse me, may I ask, how far along were you in the pregnancy that you knew you were having a little girl?
Yes, yeah, so we were 13 weeks along. I had gone in at around 15 weeks for a visit, and they had found no heartbeat and were able to measure that she had probably stopped developing around 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then to find out if she was a girl or a boy, we ended up doing genetic testing.
Oh.
And so they were able to find out her gender that way. And I think that was really helpful for us to know that she was a little girl, to name her. We ended up having a funeral mass for her, and she was cremated and we buried her. And so I think for our kids at home, it was really helpful and still is helpful to know that they have a sister, you know, in heaven, mm-hmm. Interceding for them and for us and our family. So, so that was, I think, also very healing to be able to find out that we have a daughter in heaven. And so from there, we ended up actually getting pregnant about a few months after I had delivered her. And so in March of 2022, we delivered our son, Ezekiel, our rainbow baby, who is just a rambunctious two-year-old now and is so fun and is just such a light in our lives. And so I really think the idea of these babies being called rainbow babies, they do really live up to the name. You know, they are just a source of hope and joy after such a hard season. And so, yeah, I think with Ezekiel's birth, we just were reminded again that, like, you know, this is, it really reaffirmed in us, we are feeling called to have many children. And so I think it helped us be like, okay, there's hope and, you know, there's goodness in this. But so then we just always are open to adding more to our family. And so we got pregnant again over the summer. And not over the summer. We ended up having our second loss in the summer of 2023. And again, I was around 13 weeks along. And so we were able to find out we had a little daughter named Idabel, is what we named her. And I think with that loss, you know, the first loss, you're really startled. And I think with this, the same is true, but I think for my husband, you know, he said for him, it has allowed him to surrender more to what God's will is versus what our will is. And Yeah, and so I think that loss for me, I think it, for my husband, it's gotten to a point where he's able to surrender more to God's will. For me, it's been harder. You know, like, what am I doing wrong? What's going on that I, you know, my body is not carrying these babies to term? And so I've really been leaning in to my husband's faith, if you can do such a thing, to be like, you know, I need your strength right now because it's been harder for me.
Can you explain a little bit the difference in the grieving process for yourself and that for your husband?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for my husband, he's able to, I think he just finds something to keep himself busy. And he's a very present and engaged father to our kids at home. And so I think he has just been a solid rock for our family and keeping things, you know, normal for our kids. And I think for me, it's been more leaning in to those in our community who have, you know, heard of our circumstances and have come forward wanting to help. And so I'm not one that normally likes to accept help, but I think the Lord is softening my heart, and just really allowing others to love me and to receive that love. And, so I think that's what's been different for the two of us.
The surety of your husband's faith, the way you described it when you were talking about your first loss and then your second, sounds like he is the kind of person that really is a rock, and you can lean on him, his belief in the reality that God is there with us in these times.
Okay, well, we're coming up on a break in just a few seconds. We're talking with Shawn Liddle about her experience with grieving and healing following miscarriage. And we'll have more of our discussion on the other side of the break, so stay with us, and we'll catch you on the other side. This is Real Presence Live.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
This is Father Anthony Craig from the Diocese of Duluth. I really want to thank my parents today for giving me the faith of Jesus Christ and teaching me the ways of prayer, praying over us when we were sick, showing us self-sacrifice. My father actually was a deacon, a permanent deacon in the church, and he would bring us along as kids, because there were six of us kids, and he would bring us along to hospital visits or to work in the food shelf and doing all these various things for people in the community. And I learned ways of serving others through that, through watching my dad. And then my mom, she also was very self-sacrificial of herself. She wore the same pair of tennis shoes for about 10 years to show us that she didn't care about herself as much as the rest of us. And we got new shoes for every school year. We had all of what we needed and most of what we wanted. And the Lord really provided a great example in my parents to show me the way to really Christian servitude and prepared me for the priesthood.
Let us run to Mary and as her little children cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. This is Doreen Canelli, and I'm with my husband, Jack. who are hosting Real Presence Live this morning. I don't usually bring us back, so I'm a little bit nervous. We are so blessed to have Shawn Liddle on the line with us, sharing her experiences with the grief and loss of some children through miscarriage in her family, and a little bit about her work in preparation for her ongoing work as a birth doula. So, Shawn, welcome back, and thank you again for being here and being this great example for our listeners. And would you just like to continue with talking a little bit about what are some of the things that brought you comfort as you worked through this? You mentioned your husband and some people in the community. And then if there's anything that was a little bit more, made it a little bit more distressing, if there's something that, you know,
well-intentioned
people might benefit from learning from your experience.
Yeah, I would be happy to touch on that. So I think in our experience, you know, we are currently living in a smaller town in Minnesota, and there's just such a communal aspect of living in a small town. And so I think with our losses, one friend in particular, without saying anything, she just showed up to our house with a few meals prepared so that we, you know, didn't have to cook. It can also look like coming over and having a cup of coffee and just letting that mom share her experience and cry and just really mourn and grieve and feel every emotion, you know, that she's experiencing. Because with pregnancy, whether it's carried, you know, to term or not, like, there is a hormonal change in your body. And I think to allow that mother to feel just every emotion and every hormonal change and to be there and be present for her is the most invaluable thing you can do. It also can look like, say, taking their kids off their hands, the ones that are, you know, in their home, and being like, hey, you and your husband, do you want to go out for a date? And child care is on us. We'll watch them. Or praying for that individual. I think those are some really helpful, tangible ways that a mother feels that. And I do remember with our first loss, a family friend coming over with flowers, and she said flowers to her represent, like, you know, you have flowers at a funeral. And so she was acknowledging my baby's life by bringing flowers over. Like, this was a person. And and so I think that brought me comfort as well, to be like, okay, you know, like, I as the mom felt this baby growing in my womb, and I felt all the physical changes that happened in my body. And so to feel validated in that, because it was a real experience, I think is an extremely powerful one. So I think those are some things that people had personally done for us that made a huge difference. And I know a lot of times, like you were touching on, people are very well-intended with what they say, but I think to try to refrain from, you know, oh, well, at least you have two healthy babies at home, or at least you're able to get pregnant again, or, you know, those things can be very well-intended. I know people are not trying to be hurtful, but as a mom who's navigated loss, and that can be really, really hurtful and just kind of make you question yourself, you know. So those are that would be my advice on how to navigate a friend or a family member who is going through the trenches of miscarriage and loss.
Thank you. Those are very beautiful and real examples, and I think would be helpful for all of us to keep in mind that idea of kind of co-suffering rather than trying to be the fix for the situation, and allowing the person in grief to grieve. Yeah. Thank you so much. Then another thing we were wondering about and hope that you would speak about was how your personal experiences that God has allowed in your life, how they guide you or kind of influence the work you do as a birth doula. Or have you had any opportunities to use your experiences? I'm sure you have, with the women that you and the the families you work with through your work as a birth doula?
Well, in a very practical way, I feel like, you know, my understanding with my birth work is that, you know, as long as I'm not actively at home with a newborn, like, I can be working. I could be doing birth work. So I think on a very practical level, the Lord has used our losses to allow me to have the opportunity, you know, to go out and to serve women and to be able to walk with them through their pregnancies and through their labors and delivery. If I had a little newborn baby at home, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I think that first and foremost is something that I've held on to is, you know, I may not be in the same position as the women I'm serving. And that's not to say God couldn't, you know, bless us with more children. But in the meantime, I can walk with women and help them, you know, navigate pregnancy and navigate childbirth, because childbirth is not easy and it's not fun. And so I think using my own experience in labor and delivery for the babies I've had, you know, to really tap into that and to, in our community, there's a term called, or an expression people use, that we are called to mother the mothers. And so that's really something that I love to work with, because it is true. Like, we are called to use our motherly hearts to serve the women that we work with. So I'm trying to think in other ways how our losses have helped. I think the women I've served are very excited about the life they're bringing into the world. And so I think to just feed that excitement with what I believe about life, that it's good and it's precious and that it's from God. And so I think that has also just been the heart of my mission, is to serve these women, knowing that they're carrying precious life and that God has entrusted to them these little babies. So
okay, I've got kind of a practical question for you, and that is, for all of our listeners, if someone is, you know, impregnant, how do they engage the services of a doula? Is it something that the hospital offers, or is it just a word of mouth thing? Or, you know, if someone were to say, I would like to have someone accompany me, walk with me through this, I would like a doula, how did they do that through the physician or whoever?
That's an excellent question. So in our area, I think a lot of it is word of mouth. So especially in a small town, my husband is the principal of the Catholic school in town. And so we've really gotten to know families. And I feel like just the word of mouth has been huge. But in other areas too, like, we have a pregnancy resource center that there are a handful of us doulas that provide our services for free to mothers who are going through their program. And so I think, and also in the age we're living in, just a trip to Google, you can Google doulas in your area and you will usually run across a doula or two, or sometimes 10. It depends on where you are. In our area, there's just probably about 6 or 7 of us that are actively working. But in the Twin Cities, you have complete access to a whole, you know, a whole list of women who are serving. So, yeah, my recommendation would be check your local pregnancy resource center. There might be, you know, a connection with doulas in your area, or some hospitals do have referrals to women who are doulas. So those would be the places I would start.
Thank you. That is very practical and important information. And I have another question, Sean. It's not on our show notes, but how does your faith help you in your work as a doula? How does it find its way into that work? And what does it look like?
Yeah, so I think, you know, our family really tries to adapt that servant leadership mentality. And so I think as a doula, my goal is, you know, to be to be like Christ to these women, to walk through the labor and delivery experience with them, serving them, because this is one of the most powerful experiences they'll ever have. And I think for me, every time I'm at a birth, I feel so connected to God, just seeing from start to finish, like, it's a miracle every single time to see all that has to take place to bring a baby into the world. And so I think I just feel so connected and rooted in my faith when I walk into, you know, a labor and delivery room with a mom, because I'm just so reminded of his plan for us and his faithfulness to us. And so, yeah, I would say my servant leadership approach helps me and is rooted in my faith. But also I'm just so reminded of God when I'm in that space as well.
Do you ever pray with the women, or do they ask you to pray with them at all?
I've had a few women who haven't asked me to pray with them, but I've prayed a rosary for them while they're resting during their labor, or we've had some women who play praise and worship music in the birth space, or have affirmations that are playing that are very rooted in scripture or in our faith. So I've been very blessed where the clients I've had have all been, you know, women of faith. So that's been helpful.
Sean, the music's coming up, so we want to thank you for being with us today. It's been a wonderful discussion, and perhaps we can have you on again sometime down the road. And for our listeners, we have more to come on our second half of Real Presence Live this morning. After the break, we'll be getting an update from the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Jason Adkins will bring us up on the latest out of the legislative session in Minnesota. And there's some interesting stuff. Stay with us.